I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Hi everybody, you're probably wondering why am I sitting in this chair. For 2 years now, it's been a dream of mine to chair to lead Gold Diggers, and finally they've given me my seat. So today I'm going to be your host. My name is Teema at Teams_GH on Twitter.
Oh, I'm Philippa at Philippa Acco.
I'm Ella at LFCLs.
Lauren at Lauren Coys.
Joyce Swifty Stones on Twitter.
Fantastic. How are we all feeling, ladies?
Great. Feeling good?
Well, great. I think this is a really, you know, really happy panel today because we all won our games this weekend, didn't we?
All wins, yeah.
How are you feeling?
How are you feeling?
So it's time for me to mess things up. I was about to swear, but so today we're going to start with shenanigans at the London Stadium. I apparently have to be neutral. So Philippa, what was your opinions on the game?
So started off really interestingly. James Ward-Prowse come out, had a couple of corners, and we scored on the second one, which was fantastic. For the next, like I would say, 10 minutes, we were okay, but Chelsea really grew into the game, and we just saw like a really fantastic strike, which saw us. What you call it? Why can't I speak English today? Saw you guys equalise. And then basically the rest of the first half was you guys just growing bigger and bigger. There was a penalty, and it was actually Areola's first penalty save for West Ham, which I was very shocked at. Put me back on Faye's list. I'm sorry, Faye. But yeah, so going into like half time, I was feeling a little bit dejected. We looked a little bit rattled. You guys looked like you were, you know, feeling a little bit more confident. Unfortunately, Chukwuemeka got injured right at the end of the first half.
Yeah, because you guys were playing rugby, not football.
Okay, and so
that
were you.
That sounds very partial.
It doesn't sound impartial to me, but okay, fine.
I'm in a chair today. I make my own rules up.
Hello, okay.
That's okay. You have, you're allowed to be upset. That's fine. We came out of the changing rooms a little bit later than you guys, and I feel like David Moyes probably gave the team the hairdryer treatment.
Oh, so you were cheating by coming out later. Okay, cool.
No, you came out.
Is that cheating?
Is that cheating?
You were supposed to, like, the bell rings. You're supposed to.
We came out in our allotted time. It just so happened that you guys were on the pitch earlier. It's okay. You're upset, and that's fine. I'm not going to let it, like, derail this. The point of the matter is that you were, you know, whipping in crosses into the box, and no one was really getting on the end of them. And Aguerd, for whatever reason, well, I do know the reason, he had to tackle high in order to make it make sense and stop Chelsea pressing, and it was his second yellow, and it was a deserved second yellow, and he went off. But from that point onwards,
you scored before that point.
We did score before that point.
You did.
You're right.
You did.
We did, because we scored in the 54th minute. My bad. Antonio, James Ward-Prowse, Prowse again. Fantastic ball into Antonio. Just picked him, like, you know, the eye of a needle, and he went in and scored. And then, yeah, we went down to 10 men. And I thought that that was the point where you lot were going to turn it around and that 2-1 lead was going to be sort of destroyed. And I don't know. Didn't happen. Paqueta decided that he wanted to be Mr. West Ham today.
Oh, the person who should have been banned because he's got gambling issues.
They haven't charged him yet.
Allegedly. Thank you.
Allegedly.
And also, you know, you have to continue to go to work until these charges are brought upon you. So he came to work and, you know, right at the death, he got a, well, it wasn't him who got the pen, but we got a pen and he scored it and he did the hammer's crosses so that you lot can go away. But yeah, sorry, that was just like a really boring rendition of it, but quite frankly you guys were playing better and then for whatever reason you just couldn't tuck it away, and that was silly because a better team would have really smashed us and they didn't. So I'll take the 3 points. First home game win. We never win our first home game, so thank you, Chelsea.
But also, we have a terrible record at the London Stadium.
I don't think it's terrible.
No, it is. It's very bad. Away to West Ham, our record is not good.
I think you've got like a record of drawing, but you don't usually lose.
I feel like as a Spurs fan and as a Chelsea fan, you know that you're going to face an elevated West Ham.
Yeah.
Like it's
cup final teams.
Like, yeah, you turn up for those 2 games.
And Ella, what did you think about Chelsea's performance?
I enjoyed it. Not because they were good or anything, but I really enjoyed the signings, yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed the LFC midfield.
Anyway,
Lauren. No, wait, we're gonna come back to this.
We completely forgot a really key part of the penalty.
Anyway, Lauren, what is your view? We finished.
My view. I would like to talk about. How much did he cost?
150.
Anyway, right, okay, if you don't want to hear that, all I want to hear is all that gas, all the smoke that was on the timeline about Raheem Sterling had a really good first half.
He did.
Maybe he did. I will say maybe he did. But that doesn't count for anything, unfortunately. He's tried two blueies.
He did play well, but let's spin the block, please. Yeah.
Are you hosting?
Your number 25. Big shirt.
I don't agree with that, by the way.
He came in as a substitute, and this man was logging himself in.
He actually made them look worse.
Like, he'd played a full 90 plus 15 minutes.
He looked like he hadn't come from a Premier League team.
He hasn't had a pre-season.
He hasn't had a pre-season.
He was training.
But he chose to chill in London, remember? For five days. Yeah,
he did.
So when you talk about all those London attractions, that's what he was doing.
Exactly. Going to go see Madame Tussauds. Practicing his stepovers.
I think he'll come good. I think obviously it's a very bad debut, but I think he will come good. I believe that he's a very talented individual.
He has to. How much money? You have to come good.
I think he'll come good. I think he was just, it wasn't a great debut, I can't lie.
It was awful. Bad,
yeah,
real bad. Like
you could literally say that. Being said, you could say the same for all their big signings now. Enzo and his terrible penalty as well.
But Enzo played well though. Apart from the penalty, he played well.
That being said, do you miss Jorginho?
No, skip pop.
Who do you think should be taking your penalties then?
To be honest, yeah, like I don't agree with. I knew who's going to miss because for me, you don't have Enzo taking penalties. Nicholas Jackson, you're brought in to be Chelsea's striker, why are you not taking penalties? I said that on Twitter. He should be, like, as a striker, you should be greedy for goals, which means that you should be taking penalties. I don't understand. Maybe in the statistics in terms of training and whatever, you know how Gareth Southgate said after Euros that statistically they look at all the players and who's the best penalty taker. I can't believe that it would be Enzo. And even if it is Enzo, Nicholas Jackson should be knocking on the manager's door and saying, I'm that guy.
Yeah, no, I hear that. I feel your penalty taker should be your number 9, unless you have a specialist
in your team. Yeah. Yeah.
Enzo isn't that. So, yeah.
And what's your opinions about like where you're going to be this season and how you're feeling about the start of the season that West Ham have had?
Well, I mean, it does really depend on our Brazilian Magnifico and what happens with him. I really do feel like that will affect our season. But David Moyes came out after the game and said, like, you know, we finished 6th and then we finished 7th. And then last year was a blip. We finished 14th because the team was so fixated on winning that European trophy after getting so close in the Europa League the year before and falling short. I don't think that's a great excuse, but I hear it. But like, I do think that we can probably get ourselves back to the top half of the table and hopefully flirt with European places again. Like I said last week, like, I could see where we'd improved massively in our first game of the season. Obviously, we let Bournemouth get back into the game. It was really frustrating. But today was another sort of example of how passionate the players actually are. JWP came in so clutch. Like,
I
want to
talk about him and your opinions.
Same.
Yeah. I know that you weren't too keen on him before he joined your club. So.
I said that he was the one out of all of the people that we were linked with where I had the least issue with it. I said it wasn't a sexy, like, signing, but it was probably a necessary signing.
Sorry. And do you think you still need to kind of really dip into the transfer window before the transfer window shuts?
Absolutely. We need a left winger. Bad.
Kudus
could be coming. Looks like he's coming. Looks like we're getting that Greek centre-back. He was there at the London Stadium today. So hopefully his signature comes in early this week. Maguire has said he doesn't want to do
staying.
It. And if he doesn't want to do it, that's fine.
Find shame, that's not West
I hope like you dust off your seat, your padded seat on the bench, and I hope it's nice and cosy and I hope it's heated for you.
That being said, you've seen what ex-United players now do that quite often where they just say like, you know what, I'm going to stay put. I enjoy, you know, just being
to United. Okay, well,
that's
what
I think it's like, look, it's also an ego thing, right? Because you are playing for Manchester United. Like, as much as we don't like to say it, it's Manchester United, and also think about the echelon of Europe they're in. Do you really want to be playing with West Ham and feel like you're taking perhaps a step back?
They took the captaincy off you. What ego do you have left?
He wasn't even in the squad.
Come on now. Me
just,
personally, obviously.
Just I don't know. Europa like, League football, go down a level, become a club hero.
I just rebuild
your career. Yeah.
Like, how do players think about this, especially when they're thinking about like what clubs they choose to transfer to? And I say predominantly mostly all those players now signing deferral contracts with Chelsea and thinking about their career progression just because of, like, the price tag that's been offered. When you think about that, I think obviously it'd be best for, you know, yeah, it might sound a bit horrible having a step back, but you could, if you want to take the ego path, rewrite history for
I completely agree.
Well.
And if you think about like the likes of Jesse Lingard, who'd been literally thrown to the wayside and came and did a loan spell for half a season and was fantastic. And, you know, he's had a recent interview with Stephen Bartlett and, like, he was saying how Man United said that they promised him stuff and they wanted him back and all of that. And then when he realised that it wasn't really the case, he was blocked to move again. And then when he was a free agent, like, West Ham didn't show him love, which essentially means they didn't really slap the money on the table and they were trying to rush because they wanted him to be there before pre-season, whereas Forest gave him time to have a proper holiday and probably offered him lots of money, so he chose Forest. But that's my thing. If you think about that loan spell, and it's like, it's about being wanted and feeling like you're a real, like, need for a team rather than being a utility player or someone just there. Me personally, as someone who's not a professional footballer who probably doesn't have all of these issues around it, my drive would be to be competitive and like to be a guy. Do you know what I mean? But some people, it's about image. We're not a sexy club. Let's just face it, we're not a sexy club.
An ego. Listen, I've been to Essex. Some very nice places to live there. You're close to London.
Only stops, Madame Tussauds, you can do the same.
There's a sheesh in Chigwell and in Mayfair now, guys.
Exactly.
Come, Harry.
So, in terms of just going back to the game, and in terms of Chelsea, and what do you think was the issue? What was the problem in terms of why they didn't go on to win that game when they had the momentum with them in the first half?
Final ball.
I just don't think they score enough goals.
Individual brilliance.
It's your final ball.
The final ball just wasn't there. I think there was a lot of transition and that worked very well. Like, I thought Raheem had a really good game. I think Nicholas Jackson ran the channels very well. But when it came to kind of who's getting on to the end of some of those passes, or there's another pass that's needed after it's gone down the channel, there was just no one there. So there weren't enough cutting edge passes. I do think once Caicedo and maybe Lavia come into the team, and Enzo can play further forward, he may provide, you know, that creative spark. But most Pochettino teams need a kind of number 10 type player in
there. We do have one who's injured though, in Kunku.
Yeah,
so that's a big miss for us.
I just don't think you have enough finishers to put the ball in the back of the net.
I know you're enjoying this.
I'm really enjoying this. After last week, Caicedo, don't want you. We don't want you either, darling. We don't want you either.
Straight.
We have Endo. It's cool. It's
Endo.
Cool.
When yeah. When you wanted Enzo, fair.
No.
Cool.
Ouch.
We saved a whole load of money.
It's basically like going to a Marks and Spencer's and ended up in that Aldi.
I mean, but
as the shop is, yeah, it's still a nice supermarket. Don't worry.
Listen, the season has just started. We're yet to see that.
Listen, anyway. And if you just allow me, I know I'm supposed to be hosting, but obviously Chelsea, my team, mm-hmm. passionate about my team, and I see major issues. So one of the things that Chelsea Twitter are debating is whether Chelsea need a new striker. I've always been very strong that Nicholas Jackson isn't going to be enough. We need a first team striker. It's not that I don't like Nicholas Jackson, but this is a player who scored 12 goals last season. A majority came in the second half, like the latter end. So he was in form. He had a very good pre-season, but you can see that when you're getting Mason Burstow off the bench, that's an area that Chelsea needs to improve. The Sassy as well at the back really lacks awareness and concentration. I think
he hasn't had to have the same awareness and concentration because he hasn't played in a league like the Premier League. But I think he can learn that. It's just going to take a bit of time.
It's just time because actually there was a couple of things that he did like right towards the end of the second half where we were just looking at each other and being like, that's just you not knowing what you're doing at this
stage.
Yeah,
that's kind of a welcome to the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also not convinced by Sanchez in goal.
I did flag this to you guys.
There's a reason why De Zerbi dropped him. I can't lie.
That's what I'm saying. He was replaced by Jason Steele.
Yeah, like it was a creme de la creme.
So, goalkeeper. Yeah, I did say when you announced it, I was like, I don't really know what this is for. Because if you're not happy with Kepa, this isn't your replacement. But then I guess is he your cup keeper? Like I was really confused.
I think I just don't think he's good enough. Even for the goals that for your first goal, I was like, I'm done with him already because you don't command. No, there's two corners. You don't command your box, and I pretty much until the end of the second half, every single shot he faces, it's a goal. Like, I just don't think he doesn't command his box properly. He doesn't sweep properly. So when Benrahma came, like, his offside chance.
Yeah.
Mm. It's because Sanchez isn't sweeping properly. Like, he literally stays on his line. Yeah. He definitely wasn't going to save that penalty. I could have told you that probably last year. He weren't going to save that penalty. Like, he's not the goalkeeper. He doesn't have the stature and the presence needed to be a number one keeper at Chelsea.
Completely agree.
I also think he's so tall that he gets down very slow. Like when you like go back and watch some of the chances that just went past the post, the way he goes down, it's like a split second, but slightly too late.
I think that might be a him thing. I don't think that's a tall keeper thing.
Courtois,
I was going to say.
Maybe that's
a him thing. I don't want to do too much on the tall keepers.
But you are used to having the Petr Cech's
Chelsea. Yeah, I think Chelsea have needed a keeper for a while.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, years. I don't know how Kepa has ended up at Real Madrid, but fair enough.
Listen, if you aim high and you manifest.
What?
Failing upwards, man. Mm. I still think Chelsea needs to do a lot there.
Did you see Kepa in some of the Real Madrid training videos?
Yeah, did you see Tchouameni's face?
I can't wait for Champions League to roll around.
My guy landed in Madrid and said, I hope I can do well for me to stay here. I tweeted instantly, see you in Turkey next year.
This is a man, with no conviction.
Unless he wants to be the number two.
You will not be goalkeeping in Madrid, and not Atletico Madrid, not Real Madrid, not the under-19s. It's not going to happen. But congratulations on your 3 points, and let's hope that you're not battling relegation again this season.
To be fair, there's other teams to be worried about.
Mud loaded. Look, listen, we're going to get to them, but there are several teams this weekend that we saw play where, you know,
Sheffield United,
I think
as well.
They are going to be, I think we're going to have a, we're going to predict who goes down pretty quickly.
Should we do that actually on the show?
We've got time at the end, we
sure.
Why not?
The next game I wanted to, we forgot to talk about the Lionesses.
I
think we're all a bit dejected because it was really good to see them come. That's basically far. They started the tournament flat. I think a few of us were together and watched their first game. And we were just like, don't know. And they just seemed to turn it around, like after maybe the quarters.
When they changed the formation.
When they changed their formation. And it just, I don't know, I think it was like Serena had one game to manage too much. I guess. I think her tactics were a little bit off. But like I said earlier today, I don't think any of us really expected the Lionesses to go this far. When the likes of Beth Mead and Nia Williamson.
Because you're going to let the Arsenal girls run their agenda.
No. But like, it's not about running an agenda because you have to, when those injuries were announced, we kept thinking was, what's going to happen in August?
I think it's unfortunate. I think, but I don't know what happens with the England managers and the finals because Gareth Southgate also malfunctions.
Well, we can't say it's a final thing because she played it. She played her cards right.
Yeah, I don't think they needed to be played at half time. I think taking off your two main strikers at half time, it just meant that she didn't have a plan C if that plan B half time didn't work. So it's just a shame because I do think England were capable of winning the game. But it was just a big Lucy Bronze error as well. It's just frustrating that the goal that wins it was preventable.
Momentum is still with them, and you know, the Euros and the next World Cup, they're in a good position in terms of the age profile of the team. So they should be proud of themselves in terms of what they've done. So I'm just remember what Faye said in the group chat. But no, on a serious, they should be proud of, in terms of how they where they got to in terms of the squads, in terms of everything that's happened in the tournament. So they should come home with their heads held high, and I'm sure on the next women's football pod you're probably going to go in depth in terms of what they've achieved in this tournament and where they went right and where they went wrong. So but I just wanted to mention them because obviously the game was this morning, and
go and watch your team, the people who are watching this, if you're Arsenal fans, if you're Chelsea fans, whatever you are, go watch your women's team. Like, the only way that we're going to see this team maybe with lift the Olympics next year is more funding, more investment. So go and watch them. The game's literally on like free to air television. Go and watch your teams,
especially Chelsea, because we're the best. Cool. Okay, so we're gonna go on swiftly to the game. Yesterday's evening game. I say the first one. Spurs Manchester United. So Ange's first home game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. No Harry Kane. But it didn't really matter in terms of the end in terms of the result. I thought you guys were fantastic. But Lauren, what did you think?
Yeah, I got my joy back, like watching my team. Like, it's been a tough, I don't know, 3 years.
Decades.
But it's been tough. Like, and I can't remember the last time I saw a Spurs team take the game to a big six opposition and outplay them to win. Usually, even when we smacked United, was it 5-6-1 or whatever at Old Trafford during the COVID years?
Not United again.
Jeez. They're always getting smacked. Honestly, I don't even remember that score. Like,
they're piping up.
The Centurion scored like it was there. It was bad. But like, we played counter attacking football, and usually when we have to play a big team and we get points, and it's usually like Harry Kane gets us out of jail, or like we just have a phenomenal kind of defensive performance. We counter attack, we score. But I got my joy, like second half. I've never seen us do that to United team. Like, United fans are always like, oh, lads, it's Tottenham. Like, they're not bothered about playing us. Even I saw Moyo on Friday, and she was like, yeah, not usually stressed when it comes to playing Spurs. Like, she's not bothered.
So well, Moyo, you're bothered now.
To see us play the way that we did, to see the players take responsibility, to implement, we have an identity in the way that we want to play football. and I'm on board. Like, I know we're going to have some bad results because it's still a bit iffy. We're in, like, we've just started the process. But to see what I saw against what should be top quality opposition in game two, I'm here for Ange Bull, man. I'm gonna ride the hard times, because when, like, Klopp came in, Pep came in, Arteta came in, it's a struggle the first kind of season, two seasons.
Ella, you writing this down? Here.
No, I'll go pick this. I'll go back. When I come and complain in 2 months, tell me to come and watch this episode.
Do you know what? Right, it's not just Angel. Like, some of your new players, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, which one? Like, it's not even new players. Madison. Masuma finally got locked in. Yeah. He's freed from prison.
Like, Madison.
Pepe Matasar, less than 15. Yeah. Madison, only 40. Like,
what's the name of the defender?
Destiny.
Right?
I just remember because I like his name. Yeah.
Goalkeeper was very good as well. Goalkeeper was good.
And, like, we didn't want to spend 40 million on Raya. We went and used the data analytics, found an alternative keeper. And he was very, very good in his first home game. So I look and think, I think Sonny was the only player that was over the age of 30 in that team. And everyone else is like 26 and under. We're building a structure. We're building a team that...
Is James Madison, like, under 26?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I thought he was very good.
Tough paper, but he was very good. He would flourish, because I think at Leicester, you know, they got relegated for a reason. At the end of the day, he will create chances, but also, and he will thrive being the main man in the team. I think if he had gone up a level to like a City or something, he'd be rotated in and out of the team, but he's going to start for us. If he's fit, he's going to start. But yeah, I'm so excited. Like, I was just like, look at this atmosphere. Like, the fans are behind it. Like, we still hate our owners. Don't forget. Daniel Levy. I'm still looking at the manager. I ain't forgotten that. But yeah, like, I was happy again. Like, I was happy. Like, I can't wait till my team play again. I can't believe it. Like,
I've never seen Lauren so happy.
I know, it's mad.
I was in the pits of hell. My morale was finished through the floor last season. I'm happy.
Talking about the pits of hell, how do you feel about Harry Kane leaving?
Yeah.
Nice segue. Thank you. Man.
Like, do you know what was mad? Like, I was on the beach, guys. Like, I was on the beach.
Guys, we just to let, like, obviously the listeners and viewers know, obviously we chit chat on our group chat all the time, and anytime there's a little bit of news, we fling it in there and discuss. And we knew that Lauren was on her holiday in Greece, and we were like, we're actually gonna have to stop talking about this, because we knew that she was on the beach and just didn't want her to just keep walking.
I was on my son bed, yeah, and I just picked up my phone, and you know the Undertaker in wrestling when he sat up on the bed? That was me. I was like, what? We've accepted it. What do you mean? Like, it was a horrible 24 hours, like, because then it was like, oh, is he going to go? Is he going to stay?
It was so long. Like, the whole delay.
It was such a circus.
Like, it was just, it was hard. And then all of, like, the clips that they did, like, yeah. And for it to happen on the first day of the Premier League season, it went from being like, oh, we're having a good preseason, like, we got a new identity, to, oh, we sold our best player. And I don't care what anyone says. Yes, okay, fine, we got 100 million. There will be no justification for me personally to ever sell our best player. I don't care whether he was in the last year of his contract. Like, if Kane was in the team that yesterday, our team would be even better than it is. But yeah, life without Kane looks fine. So,
but do you not think without Kane, other people are taking more responsibility?
Yeah, but Kane had a huge cost to carry.
The week before, I saw Spurs in the preseason friendly at Shakhtar with Kane in the team. And it was the same performance from the players around him. So
I was going to say, like, you're saying that it gives them more responsibility, but there are certain forwards who are struggling with, like, that pressure.
Richarlison.
Exactly. Let's just call a thing. Richarlison is struggling with that pressure.
Last season, I gave him a blight because I thought, okay, you've been injured. Then there was the World Cup, and you can't stay fit. We paid 60 million British pounds. And we're not like other clubs. This is our record signing. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how many times you lot have spent 60 million pounds this summer. All right. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, everybody, like, the clubs around us just drop that money like it's like, oh, here you go. £5. There you go. Like, this is a big money signing. You're Brazil's number 9. And that's what's frustrating, because I can see you do it when you're wearing a yellow shirt. So I need you to do it wearing, like, he needs to do something, because we haven't spent all of that money to watch him run around. So yeah, he needs to step up. But I also think we need another striker, because you can't, like you guys with Nicholas Jackson, you can't just rely on having one number nine to shoulder the goals. We need a rotational option. So hopefully we get one before the end of the season. Transfer window even.
I was gonna say,
girl, it's a long season.
As good as Spurs were, and listen, you know, guys, how I feel about Spurs. So for me to say that they were good breaks my soul. But you guys were good.
Thank you.
Manchester United, Ella.
They were bad. No. They were real bad.
Can I just go through some names for you to see how you kind of felt about their performance? Rashford. Mason Mount.
And you know what? With Mount, I'm struggling to see the footballing reasons why he went to Manchester United.
And then they put the knife in the back and said, "Let's give you a number seven as well."
He just doesn't fit. I just don't understand.
Do you remember, we've had conversations about this. I've said it on the pod last week. I said it in another episode coming out soon. And I also said it on Faye's Corner. I believe he should have gone to Liverpool.
No, he should have. Like, he would have the role that Szoboszlai, I'll come on to, would have had. And I think Klopp would have improved him as a player. Like, it would make so much more sense, Mount in a Klopp system, but...
He's not being coached. I don't know what he was. Like, it was nice, because I think, like, as a Spurs team, we've always struggled with the midfield, especially last season, only playing two in midfield. United's midfield... was like Casemiro got spun. Oh. Like, there was a Bissouma like backheel which nutmegged him, and I was like, this same five Champions League Casemiro, like, they're making him look terrible. Like, he's not a bad player. He hasn't become bad overnight
in any way, shape, or form, because he was good for them last season. Yeah, in a big way.
He's got no protection. That he must feel like a sitting duck at the moment in that United midfield. It's just non-existent.
So are we feeling that the midfield is not balanced well?
At all. Bruno Mount.
It doesn't have enough. They have
no. Doesn't make any sense.
No ball retention.
It's no. Yeah.
No, you can't ask Mount to be like a holding midfielder or a double pivot out of possession. That's not what he's good at. I don't even think he's good at a lot of things.
I was going to say, what is he good at? Because when he was at Chelsea, what was he doing?
I don't think that list is very, very long beyond, like, careful really good
pressing. Careful about his brother.
Not too much, though.
Yeah. I'm going to get cooked, but I don't think it's a long list of what currently he brings to a team. The worst thing you can do to that guy is play him out of position.
I was going to say, both him and Bruno were doing the same thing at the same time.
I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to have them both in the team doing similar things, because you just what one ball Casemiro on his own, like Bissouma and Sa ate him up.
What surprised me more was before the start in the game, the infographic in front of Mason Mount, which was zero chances or goals created for United, and obviously he's only just started, but I thought it's hilarious. It's comical.
Wow, someone really enjoyed that pack.
No, but the thing is, if he's not contributing offensively and he's not contributing defensively, what is he doing?
Do you think he'll come good though?
It's tough to say, because it's how you start, especially as like a star, is very important. Because he's got the seven,
he's
you know
got
what
seven
I mean?
On his back.
If United don't buy another pivot player, because he'll continue to play there. And he's not very good in that position.
And we still need to sort out Mr. Ten Board's tactics.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
In terms of values.
Eric Ten Hag.
But yeah. there's still not really much of a game plan for him. I don't really see it in the game so far, really.
His game plan is get the ball to Rashford and hope he scores. Talking about Rashford,
another player who is largely went missing yesterday.
I think you guys said it off air, he's a purple patch player, and we're not in his purple patch right now.
Start of the season, so. Definitely not.
But I don't know, United look like they haven't, like they look like they missed pre-season.
I was going to say, it looked like a bunch of players who hadn't played together before, which we know isn't the case. And with Rashford, he wasn't as about it as usual, but there was also no service going to him. So it's like, I don't really, he's not the sort
of...
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So he missed a couple of chances, but also he's not the sort of person to carry the ball all the way down the pitch. So it just, that midfield is your main issue.
I think he's
fixture midfield.
Also the wide players, Anthony, Sancho.
You need to mention Anthony.
I don't know what's going on.
Hey, you know that little
shot that he missed? You only have one foot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how he didn't score.
You know how he did that little flip-flap on the edge of the box and no one moved? No one was like, wow. just there.
No, it's not good, but Rashford has to learn how to play as a nine. Because I feel like when you're one of the wide players, in the modern game, you kind of need to be able to play off both wings. Or if you don't want to play off the other wing, then learn how to play through the middle if your team needs you there. And I feel like watching Rashford is like, if you don't put him on the left wing, it's like he doesn't want to contribute to what's going on.
Yeah.
Whereas, for example, like when Salah's had to play through the middle, he can do it. If Sonny has to play through the middle, he can do it. And I just feel like Rashford, you've got to learn how to do it. Because if this, I can't pronounce his name, the one that they, the kid Hoyland? That they just bought for 70 million with his chronic back problem, as you said off air, if he cannot actually play twice a week, once a week Champions League football, who's going to play number nine?
Interesting, because obviously Manchester United have spent quite a lot of money, so
and the team don't look any better. That's the scary.
Do you think
thing.
They look? What?
It's surprising because at the end of last season we were saying, oh well, we don't necessarily see Arsenal winning the league this season because every other team has now invested and put stuff up, and then we were like, oh yeah, United. But then seeing pre-season and now you're just there like,
they
but
look. I thought they'd start.
What development have they been they doing with done. The players that they've now
they,
brought
they
in?
They look like last season without Rashford's goals now, currently.
Yeah.
But there was always underlying problems because, again, I'm going to mention the 7-0 at Anfield, the 6-3, the 4-0.
Hey, and no, but it doesn't help because Ten Hag is doing all that talking and thinking it's not going on the pitch. We don't do pre-season friendlies. And then you lost all of them.
Like, these were bashings that we saw from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Like, they still have problems. Like, I always believed that they still had problems that they had to sort out despite them doing decent, getting top four and a trophy. But I think that was largely down to teams underperforming, Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham. Yeah. So it's not a surprise that they're showing similar issues.
Considering some of the news stories that come out of Manchester United this week, I'm very happy that they lost. In terms of, one of the bones of contention was, Fernandez is insistent, cheekily insistent that they should have had a penalty because there was a handball from...
Oh, Romero.
Romero. This is the same man who went on national TV the week before when...
I was literally going to say, like, you just have to hold that, charge it to the game.
Yeah, so it was one apiece because I think that there was a foul on Romero.
Yeah, that was
going to come. I'm going to come to that. Do you think Manchester United should have had a penalty for the handball?
I thought it was going to be given in all fairness, because they've given those type of handles.
Yeah, and this is why I keep saying I don't understand the rule book anymore. I could sit here and like study it.
There isn't like a blurred line on handball. Handball is handball regardless.
There's a real like argument that that's a natural position. What else is Romero meant to do? But then at the same time, like you said, we've seen those given so many times, especially Eric Dier last season. Oh, so
look, see how peaceful I'm not even
injured.
Get ready for
no, he's not injured, he's just out of favour.
Doesn't even make the squad. Get ready for his testimonial.
He's just out of favour.
Life and ball, beautiful. Anyways, let's carry on.
But yeah, so it's like one of the things where it's like it could have been given, but like last week, first of all, that Wolves like chance should have been a pen. And secondly, the fact that they had the audacity to yellow card Gary O'Neill for dissenting, when that's a very natural reaction to have when you feel like you've been robbed right at the end of a game. Mm-hmm. And then Bruno, like you said, opened lips to be like, do you know what I mean? So, I don't know. He's annoying anyway. So I said all of that just to be like, he's annoying. He's a very annoying
he's
person.
He's going to pick up so many yellow cards, isn't he? Realistically, because he doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut.
Oh, yeah, because that new rule about chatting shit to refs. Mm. Yeah.
And playing alongside Mount. Do you think you guys should have had a penalty?
Yeah. I think it was one apiece. I don't think Martinez makes any contact with the ball. And the first contact that he makes in Romero's leg stops him from getting a toe to the ball. And yeah, to me, just look, he took him out. But, you know, I'm not stupid. I thought United should have got that penalty because we've seen it given before. So I feel like they just cancelled each other out, but we didn't need that anyway. So.
Joyce, did you watch the game yesterday? Did you see both penalty incidents?
No, I think I only saw like the second one. But to be fair, we were all celebrating the concourse once you guys won. So
for context, Joyce went to the city. For context, Joyce went to the City game. That's why she's so happy. Did Ella or Philippa? Did either of you think it should have been a penalty?
What, the first or second?
So the Spurs incident.
Yeah, that should have been a penalty. But the first one, United's one's a bit iffy because when it's so close, I only think it should be a penalty when it's like stopping a certain like.
Yeah, I mean
goal.
They were closer than you two.
Yeah, so yeah. Then I don't think it's a penalty.
His hand is in an unnatural position though.
But you know when you know
frames.
I'm not gonna demonstrate, but you know when you like when you're going to block the ball, like you have to like move.
You move your arms.
Yeah,
your body.
Because if you do that, it's,
yeah.
So just the proximity.
I don't think it's like. I just think the problem is it's not consistent because now as fans. We've seen them given, we've not seen them given. So then how are we supposed to now say, is it a penalty or not? Because the rule is being interpreted differently as we go per match. So it's just frustrating. And I don't know what was going on generally with VAR this weekend because it was like, we shall not overturn the decision, even though there are clear mistakes across some games. Very bizarre. Like McAllister, which I'm sure
I was going to say, let's not get anyway. All those so those 3 o'clock games, all those red cards.
Yeah.
It's like Howard Webb has now said, we're not going to let VAR intervene.
I think it's
like, but
it's
you might as well turn it off.
Yeah, exactly.
I think what he said is that they won't re-ref the game.
Yeah, but if the referee has made a mistake,
what's the point of VAR
then? Yeah, you might as well not use it.
Exactly.
Some incidences, maybe that is the correct way to go. In some incidences, perhaps not.
Oh, now she wants to be impartial.
Right. I said I make my own rules. when you sit here, I'm sure you're gonna make your own rules as well. And in terms of like where you kind of see the trajectory of both teams going, Philippa, who do you think is gonna finish above who? In terms of Spurs and Manchester United,
I don't like playing this game so early in the season because, quite frankly,
I am not
Mystic Meg. I don't have, you know, as nice as it is to see Spurs play them. I'm being polite. As nice as it is to see Spurs playing free flowing attacking football, who's to say that you know a couple of their players don't inherit the Bozo gene and then just like. Can't get it together.
Yeah,
and
who's still conceded loads of chances.
And and here's who's to say that Man United don't get it together and like with a bit of help in you know the last remaining weeks of the transfer window, they don't like improve themselves. Like I have no idea. Based on the two games that we've seen, United have got a problem.
Mm.
Based on the two games that we've seen, United have got a problem. And might I add, I did say that Spurs looked good in pre-season, and I felt like I wasn't sure whether they were going to get into top four, but they were definitely going to be scrapping around that area. And I still stand behind that. I think that Ange has shown that he has studied the Prem, and he's very willing to try something a little bit different with a squad that's had a couple of different types of managers who have, you know, gone from like extremely negative to extremely regimented, and now they feel a little bit more relaxed and like they're enjoying their football. Like Lauren said, managers have come and gone, and Eric Dier has remained a stalwart. So for the fact that he's not like even making match day squads, I think is a statement about the sort of way that Ange wants to play. And obviously they've got people like Benteker to come back. Yeah, I just think it's going to be...
Wait, we don't know how he's going to come back. Let's relax.
But I think it's interesting. But then again, also, there are a couple of players who are, you know, not great. Kulusevski is looking a bit suspect at the minute.
If he finds his right foot, like he did for the foot, like his assist on on Saar's goal, if he can develop that right foot,
yes,
then we'll see the Kulusevski that came into the league again.
Yeah, Kulusevski, Son still seems a little bit... not himself. I'm not saying he's bad, but you know who he is. I think he seems still a bit tired.
He wasn't great last season either.
No, that's what I'm trying to say.
He had a hernia last season. Oh. He had surgery, but he played through injury pretty much the whole season.
So I think there are some positives to take away for Spurs, and I think they could, you know, shine on. But, you know, I hate to say it, Lauren, sorry, Spurs are inevitable. They're quite Spursy. So that's why I cannot call it, but Man United are in trouble, I think. If things stay the same.
For Man United, they feel like they're a team that is not quite, is like undercooked a little bit for the season.
It almost seems like Ten Hag came this summer. I look at that and I actually don't see a lot of progress to...
McFred.
Like, it doesn't look like his second season to me.
Who would have thought that we would be begging to see McFred back?
Who's we? Amazing. So, okay, great. We're going to move on, and we're going to speak about Man City. First of all, happy birthday for yesterday, Joyce. Cheers.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Are you guys going to sing?
Oh,
absolutely
no.
Not. And if I was going to, Super Cup winners.
You've had a good week. I mean, as you say, you've just won the Super Cup. Yeah. The performance, though,
was shocking. Anyways, but we don't speak about that.
Sometimes
champions have really dodgy games, and then you just got to. I say you just got to stick it out. But you know what? I was more surprised we won the penalty shootout than anything else.
Going from the Community Shield to like a set of perfect penalties.
Yeah,
Except for the Walker penalty was.
I say suspect, but you know the captain's got to do what the captain's got to do in it. So. It went in. I can't complain. It could have been definitely a bit powerful.
You guys looked shaky. And to be honest, Seville should have won that. They should have won that comfortably.
I'm not going to say I agree because I don't think I'm allowed to say that. But but realistically, no, they did outplay us. But the thing is, it's one of those things where any City fan that come into the game thinking we were going to thrash in like 3-1 or something like that, hasn't seen Sevilla play. They've obviously gotten to that point for a reason. They were good. They did their thing against United as well. So
you're always undercooked at this point.
But you know, it would have been nice to have two bits of silverware at the start of the season. But you know, Arsenal did their thing as well. So.
Yeah. So I think
I'm sorry, but that silverware—that's a pre-season friendly.
Yeah. Dinner plate.
Yeah.
It's a pre-season friendly. It's not actually officially a competitive match.
I'd like a dinner plate just once.
I think. But would you say that particularly the KDB injury?
It was a stinker. He didn't rest enough. We saw him training during the pre-season in Asia, and I was just like, this is really fast considering the kind of injury he took on the Champions League final. I thought, okay,
it's a second degree tear, wasn't
it?
It
was like, we weren't expecting him back for a while, at least not until our first actual game in the Prem, but he did play a bit, and I was like, okay. And only for him to then go off during Burnley, I was like, okay, this is scary. We've done it before without him. I don't know how it's going. I think it's a bit different now with the momentum that we have, obviously now winning the Champions League, that We definitely do need our people, and we've gotten rid of Gundogan as well, and then Mahrez. So
you lost him. You didn't get rid of him.
Well,
please.
Let me say that. Oh, that's what I mean. But like, so squad's sort of depleted in that realm of leaders and people that, you know, are normally.
But psychologically, what do you think that will do in terms of Arsenal and them chasing you?
Honestly, I don't know. I still want to go with the mentality of other clubs have invested in their own squads, and I don't think it's still not going to be a battle of City versus Arsenal. I think Liverpool definitely do have a good chance of potentially
not
going back to
Liverpool against Bournemouth yesterday.
When they come round, it'll be clubs like Liverpool and Arsenal and stuff like that. So I don't know.
Not Arsenal.
Have you still got plans? Sorry. I just wanted to know, because talking about the Super Cup and then talking about City yesterday, I was looking at the bench and thinking, what happened to that deep squad that you used to have?
It's gone. I think this whole myth of us having a deep squad has been a myth for the last three seasons. The squad has never been that deep.
But you've had four or five players to change the game off the bench.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That.
But, you know, we ran Rodri to the ground last season, and Rodri's still standing. I don't know how. But I think in terms...
I was going to say, tell that Yorkshireman to get off his ass.
That's what I'm saying. When I was begging on like the last episode of the season, saying, oh, you know, Phillips will pay for his crimes. There's an old man there that's played almost every single game of the season. Are you not embarrassed? This man's tearing his hamstrings. And
he's smiling.
Right. He's pissing me off now.
I can't lie. I love his Instagram. It's always like him in training or at the end of games with his like sub shirt on.
What is there to be smiling about? You don't want to go to West Ham and enjoy there and try and, you know, make a difference somewhere. You want to just mooch off of our bench.
See, he's winning trophies.
Exactly. And he's collecting silverware.
When he looks back at his screen, he just has to open the trophy cabinet. He didn't play in any of them, but he's got the trophy.
You have to think about where he's come from, right? This is a Leeds Academy kid back when
exactly.
Leeds were not in and around the team.
He's not even in the Premier League.
Exactly.
He's happy.
He's so happy.
So, just to go back to that comment you made about Arsenal, do you want to elaborate?
There's no further... Anyway,
so stressed.
No further comment about Arsenal.
What was the comment she made? Have I missed it?
I don't even know. Look, this is why I can't say anything, because
I don't know about, you know, KDB's injury and what that means in terms of the Arsenal title charge. And all she said was Liverpool. I then asked her, does that mean you don't think that Arsenal are going to challenge? And then
I know for KDB, like the Emirates is ground. That's basically your second home. But like, what else am I supposed to say? Like,
do you think
like
they're
going to
be
have...
your strongest challenges?
Potentially, we'll see. In terms of the two match days that we've had so far, and Arsenal's, I don't think there's much.
You think you're me? You're being a politician right now. You think you're me?
I'm trying really hard to give you like a Boris Johnson answer right here.
Say it,
okay.
Why are you seem a bit hesitant about that?
I don't know. I think a lot of it now will come down to the amount of games we'll have to play. The lack of, I don't want to say fitness, because all the boys did a full 90 last night, but it'll just be in terms of rotation and making sure that players are actually still fit for one and comfortable in their role. And obviously we're having talks about Foden and his immense presence in our team at the moment. Obviously him having to fill in the role of KDB now that he's injured, and he's doing so great. Literally, I loved watching him last night. Last night he was unreal. Wow. Mm-hmm. All over the pitch, and I'd love that, but we also now need to talk about other players carrying the weight. I say Haaland isn't an issue, but last night it was not great. It wasn't great.
But even
all the fantasy owners that own Haaland yesterday, and the ones
honestly,
that
it was my captain.
His touch was so heavy. It felt like watching
Mr. Salah, because I didn't think Liverpool. I thought Liverpool was going to do cricket scoreline, but at least he got a goal.
And in terms of Haaland, Super Cup, another final that he's ghosted.
It's early days. It's not like he's ghosting in those finals. He's there. He just isn't putting it away. And it's the same as last night, where touches were stupid heavy, where it's like, you see somewhat of a depletion in terms of his skill set one night, and then the other night is like all over the place and he's immense, and it's like, we just need to find a really good equilibrium there for him.
He just needs an oil change. Don't worry about it.
He'll be fine.
Software update,
for,
and then he's back. Yeah, software update, back on the road.
When he goes and scores like back to back hat tricks, he'll catch up on the goals that he didn't score in the beginning of the season. To be fair,
he'll be alright.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of your performance yesterday against Newcastle,
you know what, team? I have to also give you an apology, man. You know them sound effects I was giving when we were talking about links with cover. What a guy.
We told you he would
I did say it in the group chat as well in the end.
Okay.
He fits that City team.
But last night, he was good.
He's a pet player.
You can see
definitely.
It.
He has, I think he's also another clutch player, though, like another purple patch player. I think the thing
he'll
about
have his moments.
he will have moments where you will tear your hair out because the guy can't shoot for the guy cannot shoot. And I think in that City team, the goals come from everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's expectation for you.
Once you're on the edge of the box, you shoot. That's what I was saying, though. But I thought we are in tatters. Like, it is bad because Mr. Obafemi Akanji was on the edge of the box and we're shouting, shoot! I thought, oh, we are in bits. This is bad.
Do you want to talk to her about that pronunciation or shall I?
I can't coach her on that. I'm not Nigerian, so I can't coach her on that.
Anyways, anyone want to correct me, please? Sorry. Anyways, moving on.
But the performance yesterday. What did you?
So first 20 minutes was a bit of a snooze fest. But in general, I think that is some of the best football I've seen us play in a while. Like, I think a lot of it has been, it felt really, really mechanic for like the last 10 games, especially at home, where it just feels like, oh, you're just watching tactics in itself. But this was like the best kind of flowing, passionate, what we'd say champagne football, where there was like just liquid passes, everything else. And I think even outside of playing offensively, our defense has been a lot better. We've obviously got Gavardio now as well.
How's he been?
He's okay. He's okay. But I'm waiting for him to.
Yeah, when there were three Newcastle players,
he just stepped
in,
and he had
his
to,
mere presence.
I'm waiting for him to flourish. I really want to see what he's about. I think he will definitely come around.
Everyone struggles when they go into the
especially team. As a defender, you're having to replace the likes of people like Stones at the moment, who's miraculously now made of glass again. He's just remembered what he's supposed to be. So yeah, shame.
No, he's a baller. I think he's a really good defender. He just needs to adjust. Like Pep's team is probably the hardest to go into. Like,
because all the defenders are basically playing a pivot of a midfielder at the same time.
I think he'll get used to it, and then we'll see. Like, we'll see him flourish.
City doing what they do best, which is winning. So, I was gonna say unlike Liverpool, but you did win yesterday.
I was just saying facts.
So Liverpool, interesting game. Yeah, you guys kind of had an up and down game. Talk us through it, Ella.
The first 10-15 minutes is probably the worst football I have seen us play. Heavy touches. I don't know what Alisson drank before the game. Honestly, because the first, I don't know what happened. It was like some kind of spell under these players. Like, nobody was passing. It was just awful. I don't think Salah got a touch in the first 15 minutes. But once Bournemouth scored, the second time. They actually counted too much. Now we woke up. We woke up and we actually played really well. Big shout out to Szoboszlai. Excellent performance.
He's really good.
Excellent.
I'm shocked. I'm sorry.
I didn't expect that.
Why?
I also didn't know much about his profile.
He's very good.
He was the perfect player for us because we're trying to do that inverted thing that City are doing, but I want us to scrap it until we found a six. We'll come on to Endo, but the reason we were so poor in those first 15 minutes, again, we don't have a six. We have McAllister playing a six. We've got Gakpo playing in midfield. I don't know why Klopp started that same team against Chelsea, because I complained last week. I don't know why he started it again. But fair, we grew into the game. As I said, Szoboszlai was excellent. Diaz is...
That was very theatrical. though, for the penalty, I have to say.
Okay. We'll come on to that. But Diaz's goal, superb. The penalty, yeah, it was soft, but there was contact. I'll take it. Well, you have to do what you got to do, isn't it?
Salah missed the penalty?
Yeah, it's becoming a bit of a worry. I think he's missed the last three, so
I didn't know that was a start.
Minus point, even though you scored, you get minus points.
Yeah, minus 2 points. Yeah, I was not pleased.
Nah. You should take it more seriously.
But him scoring that penalty means that he's fifth on all time.
Yeah, moved above Steven Gerrard. Listen, Salah is a superstar, record breaker, just crazy numbers. I love him to bits. Don't think he's had his best start to the season, but the first 45 minutes against Chelsea, great. Did all right yesterday. But yeah, what really annoys me was the McAllister red cards, because it's not a red card.
I don't understand why VAR didn't overturn.
Oh, I understood. It's because the people in VAR, one of them, Klopp has personal.
Don't do that.
No, he actually has like issues with Paul Tierney.
We have issues with Anthony Taylor as well. Listen, don't do that.
Them two actually have issues with each other.
Don't do that.
Fully. And the other one assaulted Robertson. But anyway, past that.
Oh, yeah. Allegedly.
Could you just elaborate for our listeners?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Was he a linesman or something? And
Close lined your boy.
Yeah, he just elbowed him. And we were just like, what was that? Like, anyway, but... Yeah, so it looks like he's missing three games for what? I don't know.
Was it a straight red?
It was a straight red.
Then it's going to be appealed, man. Don't worry about that.
I don't put anything past them. I don't trust it. I don't trust the system at all.
No, I think generally...
They've got no leg to stand on. Don't worry. I've had like red cards like overturned for less.
But it was such an easy decision to overturn on the spot. Like,
this is Howard Webb. We're not going to re-ref the game. We'll just let the mistake stand then.
It's definitely a massive bit of pride that comes with having to say, you know what, maybe I just ref this wrong. You know, I'm going to say...
That's what it's too different. For. Like, correct. Like, that is a clear and obvious error. Like, it wasn't. Like, he went in with the side of his foot.
Yeah, he kind of like scooped it. There wasn't aggressive force.
It was just a clash of legs.
No, but they both went in and he kind of scooped. So he didn't go like straight in. He kind of like moved his leg towards him. It wasn't. Yeah.
What do you think the punishment should have been?
A yellow at most. At most, a yellow.
So you don't really think it was a yellow.
I think it was a yellow.
Yeah, I would have accepted a yellow, but at most a yellow.
But to be fair, even when you went down to 10 men, your performance was still... It was actually better.
Yeah, we were. I mean, Endo, our defensive midfielder, actually came on and made a positive impact on our team, unlike Caicedo. But he's only been in the country...
I'm not going to take that jab because... I think it's a bit like us last season in terms of when we had Zachariah. Like, anyone who is a competent six is going to look better. But over the course of 38 games, let's see how he performs.
Okay, but I actually don't think he's been brought in to be our main six anyway. So he's just come in. I think so. We're looking at Decore of Palace.
Now your pocket's open.
We've always had money. Yeah. It's just FSG.
No, but they showed that they got money.
Yeah, they've showed their hand.
Yeah. So, yeah, we saw out the game well. Take the points. Absolutely. I know we'll get better. I just think it's the case that we need two players. If we get those two players, I think we'll have a really good season. We've got some top players.
Yeah. Ella, last time you... Whenever you say anything with your chest, it doesn't happen, man. So I really want to
really?
What is she... Hold on, 1 second, sorry.
What's she meant to say?
Liverpool are just out hearing it. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Like, she's got to back her boys.
I can understand, but you've got to raise eyebrows. After now the recent trauma of, you know, Chelsea's not been everyone that, you know, you supposedly had interest with. You know, it's a bit hard to go, yeah, I've got faith in them actually delivering it. But then again, Liverpool have also always been efficient when it comes to deals. Like, the deal's already been done before most people already know about it. Sort of it's like, oh, Target's been there. Apart from Casino.
Oh, love
you. Yeah, but there's goals in that Liverpool
there's
team.
Goals. Like,
there's
goals. To be honest, our second choices of players have come third. Off quite well. Third Salah choice. Was second choice. Mane was second choice.
Endo's third.
Okay, let's see how he does. He could outperform them both. Let's
he
see.
He could do. He's
we
not
have to
do.
See. But
in terms of your back line, are you happy with that?
Actually, no. How is Virgil doing nowadays?
No, Virgil's been very, very good these two games. Very, very good. No complaints from me.
I think he's been troubled.
Yeah. Yeah, but
he's been troubled by his teammates.
That is true. That is very true.
That
is very. But so far, so good is what I'll say. So far, so good. He's taken the captaincy and he's performed. So yeah, it's not really the back four, it's the options if they get injured, because Konate, he's got an injury in him, and like when he comes out of the team, it's going to be a problem.
But I thought Matip was the guy.
Yeah, but Matip is 34, like he's past that it now.
Old.
Yeah, these players are old.
I always think this, whenever I see his face as well, I just think, that guy can't be, he's not right.
Yeah, and Gomez, I don't know. He's a better right back than centre back at this point.
Yeah. Should have got your money up for Colwell.
After that mistake, after he bounced off and
true, Trinier. But he's young. He's a young centre back that has shown his quality.
That was
wasn't funny.
It was very funny.
You were laughing, but
I also think Jota had a good game, a goal and assist.
Yeah, Jota was fine, but I think Nunes has been a bit unfairly treated by Klopp. I think he should be playing more minutes.
Yeah, I need to sell him.
To be fair.
Yeah.
But Jota's a poacher, so yeah, we've got so many good attacking options. So
anyway. Very interesting week in terms of Premier League football. I think a lot of really good goals, really good finishes. Unfortunately, not great for all of us. But we will be back, and yeah, you know, who knows what tomorrow will bring in terms of signings and in terms of hope. Bowley out,
Arsenal
but
Arsenal play tomorrow.
Well. Yeah,
do. Yeah. We don't talk about that team. We don't talk about that team because no one cares about Arsenal, and Arsenal fans haven't shown up, much like Manchester United fans. Anyway, that's all for today. Thank you, girls, ladies, for joining me. This has been great, actually, hosting. Brie, I'm definitely going to do this again. Whether you have me or not, I'm still going to be sitting here. Please don't forget to follow us on Twitter and on Instagram and on TikTok. And we'll see you very, very soon. Thank you very much. Bye. Bye. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.